First Chronicles 11. I hope you read this. And before we look at this, I want to ask and answer the question that we've asked many times. Why do we look at these Old Testament stories? Why do we preach from the Old Testament? Our Lord did, you know, on that day. This is why we're doing it, because he, on the road to Emmaus, he preached to the disciples things concerning himself. And he began in the books of Moses and the prophets and Psalms and all the Old Testament. That's what we're doing. But why do we preach the Old Testament? Well, because it's God's Word. That's why. He told Timothy, preach the Word. What Word? There was no New Testament when he told Timothy to say, preach the Word. So it's the Old Testament. The Old Testament proves the Christ of the New. You cannot know the Christ of the New without seeing him in the Old. The Old proved him to be the true Christ. And you can't know Christ apart from the Old Testament. And you can't know the New Testament apart from the Old. You know that the apostles, if you know God's Word, the Old Testament, you'll see that scripture quoted all through the Acts and the epistles, right? Just short passages, but quoted. You'll see it because that's what they preach from. And so you can't really know the new apart from the old. You can't know the old apart from the new. And it's according to the scripture. When scripture says that the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the Old Testament. The Old Testament. So, and these things are hidden. Like the parables. We preach from the Old Testament because to us it's given to understand. Remember, they asked the Lord, why do you speak in parables? He says, because to you it's given. It's not given to them, it's hidden. And these things concerning Christ in the Old Testament are hidden to most people. Many of you were in religion and you've heard stories like Noah's Ark and you never heard Christ's name mentioned. So how blessed we are. And Malachi 3:6, when the last book of the Old Testament, God said it right before, and he was silent for 400 years. But before the new, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. And in Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews is a summary of the Old Testament. And the last chapter in Hebrews says, Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He had changed. So, this is one book. You know, I took out, there was a page separating the Old and New Testament in my Bible. I tore that. Because it's one book. It's one book. It also, as we've seen, proves those who know him and love him. Like looking at pictures of those you love in the family album. This is the Lord's family album. And he shows it to his family. We rejoice, don't we? Proves you love him. Proves you know him. It was the only Bible anybody had for a long, long time. It's what our Lord preached from. And so that's why. This story, 1 Chronicles 11. Chronicles means record of events. Recorded history. The chronicles are of Christ. This is God's record concerning him. It's his story. This book is the record of God written, the written word of God chronicling God's Son, all that he did, all that he said, all that he would come to do, say, in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 1 begins this way. And it's a lot of names. None of them without significance. But it begins with Adam. Okay? It begins with Adam. And then it goes through Abraham, and it stops with David. First Chronicles stops with David, right in the middle, chapter 11. And then to the end of that chapter is David. Nobody else. Well, Luke's gospel. It starts with Christ. It goes all the way back to Adam. The genealogy. Right? And Matthew. But there are many names, many events, many stories in First Chronicles, all leading up to chapter 11. And as I said, in chapter 11, it's David, and then nobody else mentioned it. To the end of the chapter. From chapter the middle to the end of the chapter, is nothing about God's king, David. And it speaks of Christ, God's king. And that's all by design. All by design. And the end of First Chronicles, the end of the record. The end of the record ends this way, with speaking of his reign, his might, his kingdom. And Revelation 11 ends that way. We thank thee that thou hast taken unto thyself this right to reign and rule. The whole book is of Christ our King, our conquering King and our Savior. So, all right, let's look at it. First Chronicles 11. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David and to Hebron, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Verse 3. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. So this is God's king, David. God's king. And the people came to crown him, to own him, to confess him publicly. All of them got together, gathered together. God gathered them together to David, brought them to David to confess him as their king publicly before all. Now, Israel didn't make him king, did they? They didn't make him king. Who made David king? God did. Long before anybody knew he was king, David was king. God did. And he did it with the prophet. Samuel came. Prophesied. You remember that story? It was just a private gathering of family. David's brethren. They all knew he's king long before the rest of Israel knew. And that's our Lord, isn't it? He's been king all along by prophecy, by decree. And Psalm 2, I read that again today. Don't you love Psalm 2? Speaking of Christ our King, the kings of the earth, they set themselves rulers. God laughs. He says, I'll declare the decree. The Lord, I'll set my king on the holy hill of Zion. He's my son, whom I've begotten. He says, be wise now, O kings and judges of the earth. Serve the Lord, the Lord of lords, King of kings. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. You perish. And the way his wrath is kindled but a little. How blessed are all they that put their trust in him. How blessed are those who know that he is king. Blessed be the people. His Israel, God's Israel, whom God has given such a king and given them to know to him, to own him as their king. How blessed we are. Huh? Don't you like what Sheba said of Solomon? She said, because the Lord loved Israel, he made you king. And because God loved you, he made you to know that Christ is your king. Made you to bow. Gave you to him. He's king by decree. He's king. God made him king. He's king by conquests. He defeated all the foe. Now, 2 Samuel 3. Go back there real quickly. 2 Samuel 3. In case you don't really believe that Saul was an enemy, that Saul was a bad name, a man. Saul represents Satan himself. He hated David. He knew that David was a king. He knew David was a king. He didn't want him to be king. And he tried his best to kill him. And that's what Satan wanted to do. And 2 Samuel 3 says in verse 1, there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. There's been a long war between Satan and his seed and Christ and his seed. It began in the garden. No, it began long before that. It began before time, didn't it? When a third of the heavenly host rebelled, Satan being the leader of them, and they said, he said, I will exalt my throne in this stuff. Christ was there. He said, I beheld Satan. He said, I'm the one that grabbed him by the tail and cast him out. And the first thing our Lord did as a man, a 30-year-old man, is what? Faced Satan. Nobody knew it. Nobody knew it. But he was facing our adversary for us. David was fighting all the battles for Israel before Israel knew it. He was out fighting. Jonathan knew. A few people knew. David's the one doing all this. Starting with Goliath. Remember that? And old Saul didn't like that because David got the glory. Are you telling me he doesn't represent the God of this world? He did. And in the chapter 10, right before 11 of 1 Chronicles, it says Saul died for his transgressions. God killed him. And God's going to cast Satan and all of them into the lake of fire forever. And God turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Now he's king. And he went out still fighting Israel's battle. Fighting for them. Isaiah 40 says, comfort ye my people. Comfort ye, speak ye comfortably to my people. Say unto them, first thing. Say it, John.
Let. Warfare is accomplished.
The warfare is accomplished. Well, by who? By Christ, the king. He's king by conquering all the foe. David fought everybody. All his life as king, until he was about 70 years old, he fought Israel's enemy and won. Never lost a battle. Never lost a battle. Never lost sheep before that. Never lost a battle after that. That's our Lord, isn't it? He's king by conquest. David defeated the enemies of the Lord. David conquered the hearts of the people. In the beginning, there were only 400 men that gathered to him in the cleft of a rock. Don't you love that story? It just happens to be in 1 Samuel 22, like Genesis 22, like Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross, like Revelation 22, the end of the Bible. But it just so happened in 1 Samuel 22, it says all those who were in debt, all those who were in distress, all those that were discontent, gathered to David in the cleft of the rock in that cave of Adam, and he became captain over them. The captain of their salvation. Their king and their captain. 400 men. A few. A remnant. When it was all over in this story, all Israel's got to. All Israel. That's what this story is about. All Israel was gathered. Now here it is, the gathering of the people. Verses 1 and 3, we read it. They gathered themselves to David. Who gathered them? God did. God did. God said in Isaiah, bring my people from the north. From the south, east, west, gather my people together. Those that made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Gather my people. Who did it? He did it. Spirit of God gathered. That's what sanctification of spirit is all about. making a difference, setting apart His people, gathering them in, calling them. That's the call of the gospel, the call of Christ, to bring His people together. Oh, don't you love Ephesians 1 and 2 and 3 and 4? But it says this, you know it by heart. It says in Ephesians 1, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ. Like all these people came to David, gathered by God to David, God's going to gather all of His people from time past to time eternity in Christ, in heaven and earth, even in Him. And then in chapter 2 it says, when we're gathered together, He's quickened us together with Christ, sitting together in heavenly places. In the ages to come, He's going to show us exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, our King, our Savior, gathered together. Now here's their testimony. Verse 1. They said to David, we're thy bone and thy flesh. We're your body. What's that mean? He's the head. We're the body. That's us. And we're thy bone. Bone of thy bone and flesh of thy flesh. Isn't that what Adam said of Eve in the garden? Huh? And this is the second Adam from above, who's made us bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Whom God gave birth to us out of His rib and side, like that. In verse 2, they all said, every one of them, all Israel said this. Moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, you're the one. You're the one. You were the one. Thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. Now, Lord God, because the Lord God said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel. And thou shalt be ruler over my people. That's, they all said, you're the one. You always had been the one. And because God gave you this decree, because God made you king, because God sent you to do a work, and He said, thou shalt. And He said, you will, and thou, God, He will, and I, we shall. We come, shall come to Him. All that the Father giveth him shall come to him, like these people. And we have, and we do, and all of them shall, because God gave the decree. And you're the one, they said, all of them to a man said, you're the one that led us and fed us and fought for us and brought us. And that's what all of God's people say concerning Christ, isn't it? This other Jesus, it's a sure sign that people don't know him when they say, that preachers are false when they say, let Jesus have his way. You know, won't you make him king? Won't you make him Lord of your life? Don't know him. Don't know him. It's not the Christ of Scripture. Nobody made David king. God did. And they all knew. Every one of Israel knew. They didn't make him king. God did. They didn't let him do anything. He did it all. He's the one that led, fed, fought for, did it all. In the Old Testament, God makes it sound like David did it single-handed. It says David recovered all. The Amalekites, was it? Who was it? The Amalekites came and stole David's wives and all their goods. And David asked the Lord, shall I go after him? He said, go after him. You'll recover all. And when it was all over, it sounded like David did it by himself. The reason being is because Jesus Christ did do it by himself. He did. By himself. Don't you love Hosea? Yeah. Story of Gomer, Hosea and Gomer. Here's what it said. That she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold. She didn't know that. He says, she didn't know, but I betrothed her unto me forever. In righteousness, in judgment, in loving kindness and mercy. She didn't know. She didn't know that I bought her to me for 30 pieces of silver. Oh no, a much greater price than that. His own precious blood. She just didn't know. She finally did, didn't you? And so do we. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, you're not your own. You're bought with the price. Bought with the price. So every one of Israel and all of God's people say, you're the one. You did it all. You've done it all for us. You're our King. You're our Savior. You're our Lord. You're our Master. Look at verse 4. Now here's the city that David took. I love this. Never forget the first time I read this. Oh, man. It's written twice. 2 Samuel 5 and here. David and all Israel, verse 4, went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus. Jebus. Now, Jebus means trodden or the threshing place. Threshing place. David's going to do some threshing. There's going to be some people killed. There's going to be some bloodshed. And his garments are going to be red. Trodden. Some people trodden under his feet. Some people saved. Jebus. It's called the place where the Jebusites were, inhabitants of the land. Now, verse 5, inhabitants of Jebus said to David, thou shalt not come hither. You can't come in here. Now, he's outside your heart's door, and he can't come in unless you let him. You've got to be kidding. That's just a mockery of our Lord Jesus Christ. And old John and I sang that song by old brother, what's his name in Louisiana? So, the Lord Jesus, Ed Hale wrote that song. That the Lord Jesus broke down my heart's door one day. A ransom was found. He came and broke down our heart's door. We'll give you an illustration in a moment. But they said, David can't come in here. And the actual story over in 2 Samuel 5 is that they had some idols up on their wall. They're called the blind, the halt, the lame, the blind. Their idols were just... David wrote Psalm 1... Their idol is just like them. I can't see. Have no hands but your hand, no feet but your hand. But seriously, they had their little idols all over the wall and said, our idols are going to protect us. David can't come in here. Nevertheless, David took it. Aren't you glad? Took the castle of Zion. That's where the king resides, in the castle. Zion, city of God. He called it the city of David. He changed the name that day. Changed the name. What a picture this is of our Lord breaking down our heart's door and leading captivity captive. Us, we're in captivity. Satan, he made a show of him openly, Scripture says. He's going to parade him down street for all to see and cast him. See, here's your enemy. You'll never see him again. I've defeated him. And all his people, captivity, whom he takes captive to himself, captivated by him, by his love, by his power, thankfully. We were captives to Satan, now to Christ, willing bond slaves. But in Ephesians 2, speaking of this conquest of Christ over us, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. You were a Jebusite. You were an Amalekite, Gentile. These Jebusites were all Arminians. Do you hear me? These Jebusites were all Arminians. They all said, he can't come in here. Let him. Well, some of them found out. He killed some of them. Maybe spared some others. You now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who has made both one. David, Joshua, went through all the land. His name is Jesus. What a picture Joshua is of the true Jesus, isn't it? He killed everybody in his sight. And there were no innocent victims. They were all against him. And only the ones that bowed to him, only the few that said, "No, have mercy on us, he's fair." That's Jesus Christ. You don't know Jesus unless you know Joshua. You don't know why Joshua did what he did except in light of Jesus Christ. Right? People don't, they say it's different. No, it's not. God didn't change. You were rebels. He killed you first. Made you alive. He abolished in his flesh enmity, contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man. He reconciled us unto God in one body by the cross. He slew the enmity thereby and came and preached peace to you that were afar off, to them that were nigh. Now we're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. He made us Israelites. Made us Jews. Not by circumcision with hands, but circumcision of God, of the heart. So, the city was taken. And it says he took the castle, the fortress, the center, the place in town, the middle of town where the king resides. And he called it his city. This is my city. I own this place. I'm king. I reign over this place. Not in pride, but in a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's any book I like as much as, any man written by man book, as much as Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, it's The Holy War. I've read it at least 3 or 4 times. But it's the story of man's soul. Man's soul who originally bowed to El Shaddai, the king, and his son Emmanuel. They bowed to him and they loved him. But Diabolus, the devil, came to them and deceived them. There were two gates in that city, the ear gate and the eye gate. And Diabolus wooed them through the ear gate. Told him smooth things, what I was going to do for him. And the eye gate showed him wonderful things. And they freely opened the ear gate and the eye gate. And Diabolus came in with all his demons and captured that city, quieted the recorder. That's the conscience. First thing it is, quiet him. Put him in a place where nobody be bothered by him. And then Diabolus ended up in the castle, that's the heart, and took control of that castle, the hearts of men. And there he resided. And he said, shut the gates. But somebody cried. Somebody called. Somebody got out or something. Went to El Shaddai and said, we need help. We're captives. And so King El Shaddai said, I'll send my son Emmanuel to recapture Manso. And he came. Okay. He came to the ear gate. They wouldn't open. Came to the eye gate. They saw no beauty in him that they should desire. So what did he do? Break it down, boys. He busted in that thing. First thing he did, he went right straight in the middle of town to that castle and laid hold of Diabolus and paraded him down the middle of that street. Took captivity captive down the street. And all the people shouted with joy. And I love the story. It says made them all free from captivity and led captivity captive, and said he was walking down that street, and said everybody in town was walking behind him. They loved him so much. They admired him so much. They were walking in his footsteps. They wanted to be just like him. This is no fable. This is the truth. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did, does, and shall do. It's true. Peter said that. We were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. Oh, no man deserves that title but Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. And there's a celebration. celebration. Look at verse 7. David dwelt in the castle, therefore they called it the city of David. He built the city round about, from Milo round about. Joab repaired the rest of the city. By the way, Joab, his name means fathered by Jehovah. Now, isn't that something? Joab ended up being a bad man. Solomon had him killed. He was a fake, he was a phony, he was a hypocrite. Followed David for a long time, but he was a bad man. But now, in this story, he represents Christ. Because David said, whoever smiteth the Jebusites will be chief and captain. That's Christ, isn't it? He's the chief, he's the captain of our salvation. But never mind Joab, not about him. So David built the city round about, and Joab repaired the rest. But David, verse 9, waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. Isn't that our Lord's name? Emmanuel, God with us. Let me just show you a few scriptures in closing, okay? You're going to like this if you follow, if I've still got your attention. Look at chapter 13. It's a big celebration. Chapter 13, verse 2. This is so good. You don't like it, I do. Verse 2. So David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you that it be of the Lord our God, let's send abroad unto our brethren everywhere. Let's gather them all together into this one place. Gather themselves unto us. Let's bring the ark of God unto us. Yes. Didn't Christ say, other sheep I have not of this fold, them I must bring. Gather his people together from all places. Chapter 15. Look at this. Verse 3. So David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord, which he had prepared for it. And you know the story. We looked at it. He was clothed, verse 27, in fine linen and danced and sang before the ark. And there were trumpets and cymbals and noises, psaltery, harps. What a celebration this was. The trumpet was sounding, and all the people were dancing and singing. And that's going to be us. Look, and I love this, and I'll quit. No, I won't. I'm going to go to the last verse. But chapter 16, so they brought the ark of God in, set it in the midst of the tent David pitched for. Brothers and sisters, not going to be a temple in glory. Mm-mm. That's why Christ said, this temple is not going to be left standing. It's not going to be a temple. Christ, the Lamb, is a temple. In Him we live and move and have our being dwell. And in Him we're going to worship. And where God, He's the mercy seat where God's going to commune with us in Christ. Now look at this, verse 2, when David made an end of offering and burnt offering. And peace offering. He blessed the people and named them. And he dealt to every man in Israel, every single man and woman, a good loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a whole lot of wine. Now let's celebrate. And this old chronicle, this record ends saying, now David's reign and his might and the times he went. Oh, went through Israel and all his kingdoms over all the countries. Let it be written. Let it be recorded for all to read from now on. And these things are written that you might know him that is true and you're in him that is true. Christ our King. Okay, stand with me.